Ontario Family Law Podcast, dealing with issues related to marriage, separation, divorce, and even some child welfare issues. It's a companion to the book, The Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available on Amazon or by calling 416-446-5847. My name is John Schumann. I am a family lawyer, mediator, arbitrator, and collaborative lawyer, and I am the head of the family law group at Devery Smith Frank, LLP. Today on the podcast, how much say do kids get about where they live? Today's podcast was recorded live at an intimate and interactive seminar that I gave on family law issues. One of the participants asked how much say kids get in the custody and access decisions, and what happens if a child does not want to visit with one parent. This is a topic that is hot in family law right now, and one in which I have done a lot of work. Here is that discussion. The web addresses of the articles mentioned are also listed in the written description of this podcast. What are the rights of minor children in terms of custody in Ontario? The child is very unhappy to spend time with one parent. This is a very interesting question and one that I've done a lot of work on. If you Google Divorce Source Radio, I just gave a one-hour interview on this. What are the rights if children don't like what's going on? There is a big controversy right now with the courts about how much a child should be able to speak in court and be heard in court. In Ontario, Children's Law Reform Act gives judges the specific right to hear from judges in the courtroom. And actually, the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which is a UN convention, requires judges to listen to children on matters that affect them. Up until about 4 or 5 years ago, if you asked a judge in Ontario if they would ever listen to a child directly or have it, 98% of them would say never, and 95% of lawyers would say it should never happen. It's too traumatic for a child. Now, judges are at about 50-50 or maybe even 60-40 in terms of hearing the child because of lots of research that's been done. And the fact that listening to children in the courtroom has worked well in Ohio and New Zealand and Germany. If you get an old school judge, they're still going to not listen. A lot of judges will actually say they want to hear from a child. How much influence a child has on the decision. It's that if the child has influence in having their point of view before a court who makes the decision as opposed to deciding. How much influence a child has on a judge's decision depends on how old that child is and how well expressed their views are and whether they're clearly their own views or not. There's people who oppose this sort of involvement of children. Largely the Office of the Children's Lawyer in Ontario, which is assigned to represent children in custody access and child protection proceedings. And they will say that the child should not have their day in court because when they interview children, they hear, I think that I should live with my daddy 45% of the time so that it's a shared custody arrangement and there's no child, he doesn't have to pay child support and my daddy didn't tell me to say that. And it actually happens a lot. And every judge who hears about that happening will say, okay, that parent is really bad, and they're not getting custody. The one who influences a child to think that. Whether a child has been manipulated is a big factor in the judge's decision. And also, very young children have less say. Also, judges consider the merits of, as they consider the parent's plan, the merits of why a child feels the way they do. A child who says, I want to live with daddy because he has a better TV, is not going to get have as much success in having here as saying, as a child who comes to court and says, I want to live with my father because I get along with him better, we talk better, he understands me better, and he helps me with my schoolwork better, and that sort of has that sort of reasoned approach. That's a very simple approach, but the kids who come forward with these often, and when you hear them, it's a really well reasoned why they want to live where they do, and that's the thing that judges who are now doing the interviews are experiencing and saying, well, maybe we should listen, although they don't call the shot. The real exception to that is teenagers, and once a child becomes a teenager, parents have a hard time telling their teenagers what to do, and judges realize they have almost no hope in telling a child what to do, so there are some cases where judges told like a 15, 16-year-old, you're going to live with dad, and the kid just says, well, I'm moving back with mom the next day and bring the kid to court, make the order against him, tell him he's going to find him in contempt or whatever if he moves back, but it really doesn't work out well. So teenagers usually vote with their feet and there's very little to do to dissuade them one way or the other. If you go to an alternative dispute
resolution mechanism, mediation, or arbitration, or mediation, arbitration, or collaborative practice. How much the child is involved is usually an agreement between all the parties involved. But in those processes, especially in mediation, it is much more likely that they will be involved in some way. But again, it's not expected that they will make the decision, but they will have, that their input will be taken into account. If you go to our website, wlaw.ca, and you look up me on there, under there there's a list of articles I have written. One of the most recent ones points out, and I wrote it with a lot of people from a large Southern Ontario Children's Hospital. It discusses the difference between how children's hospitals in Ontario especially recognize that children at very, 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 very young ages should be involved in the decision-making process for their health care. But courts, up until very recently, were saying, yeah, we don't care what you have to say until you're quite old. And the disparity of that, because where I get to spend Wednesday night seems to be a much more minor decision whether I have major surgery or whether I need chemotherapy. That article's in there, and there's also an article there about how to talk to children at various ages.
This edition of the Ontario Family Law Podcast was recorded live at an intimate and interactive session. There will be more of these discussions coming up soon. My name is John Schumann. I am a family lawyer in Toronto. You can reach me at www.devrylaw.ca. That's www.devrylaw.ca. Or you can call me at 416-446-5847. Thanks for listening. We will talk again soon.